Hello, this is Carpooling with Adam, and I am Adam, so you're carpooling with me. How's that for trying to make a non-traditional expected introduction, huh? Exciting, right? No. But I'm trying to make it... I like to do things differently. Today's weird. I'm out of sorts. I don't have a beverage with me, because I've already drank too many of them today. And it's this weird season where I live that it's cold in the morning, so you gotta have the heater on your car, but on the way home you gotta have your AC on, but not too cold, because then you turn it off constantly. So I just don't know what to do with it. So right now I've just got air blowing at me that's sort of tepid maybe. And it's also dangerous today because I don't have a topic I've picked. But I'm really bored, and I'll cut up on all my other stuff to listen to. So this is my next best thing, right? Lots of thoughts running through my head. But I try and talk about things that might be in some way at least remotely insightful or, interesting. That's really subjective. Can't guarantee I'll deliver that every time. But I don't want to just go off on something every day, which I certainly could, because I can always find something to be snarky and sarcastic about, much to my father's dismay. But I don't know. So let me go with this for now. Uh-oh, hopefully that's not too much of a problem. But there's always lots of, obscene car and bumper stickers. Can we talk about that? Because I see too many of them, and it's just stupid. And maybe I take stickers too seriously. I just saw one in the lane next to me that I don't want to look at, so I'm going to maybe change lanes or something so I don't have to keep seeing it. But maybe I think about it too much, but the only stickers I have on my vehicles are the ones required to legally be on my license plate, and the parking sticker for work. Oh, it looks like I got the oil change ones, and maybe the place where I got this windshield from that needs to be replaced. And here's why. All these other cars on the road, they don't know anything about me, right? They just see a dude, sunglasses, driving in his blue car on the freeway. And I always think of it as, if there was one thing I would stick on my car to represent me, that I would want to or care that everyone sees, just me, would not be something obscene, right? I'm sure they're very nice people, and there's a whole lot more to them and their life and their world and their personality and their sense of who they are as a human being. But the one sticker you decide to put on your car is something horrific and obscene. I'm just talking both. I don't got a problem with horrific, scary stickers. But obscene ones with a very vile cuss word or something, I don't know. I worry about those people. The response often is, well, you don't got no sense of humor. Okay. Maybe. Because I don't find obscene funny. I don't know. It might be worried about me if I thought a lot of obscene things were funny. But that's just me. Anyways, my point isn't to judge, but... And that's not even what I was going to talk about, but I just happened to see the sticker and go, wait a minute, because I just see it too much. And you can put whatever you want on your car. You know, it is free speech thing, whatever, but... And like I said, maybe I think about it too much, and somebody who puts that sticker on their car just goes, ha ha ha, everyone's going to laugh when they see it. wrong assumption, however, what does it matter in the end, really, I guess, other than maybe if I'm driving with one of my kids or someone I have to explain, or I will not explain, I'll just say, it's not something you need to know what that means. But I've always thought of it that way. Same with vanity plates. The one thing I would put on my car that I would want everyone to see about me if they knew nothing else. That's why I don't have a vanity license plate, because I can think of nothing that meets that criteria. And the only stickers that my wife has on her car are resembling, well, where she's from, the state she's natively from, where she grew up, and then a favorite vacation spot of ours. You know, fine. If you know we like to go to those places, whoop-de-doo. Nothing else that helps me recognize my cars when they're on the road. Like if I end up behind one and I wonder, oh, is that my wife? Because, you know, 40% of the population drives that same vehicle. And then what? there's my wife and kids driving in the car. Yippee. I don't know. I'm weird. I get it. Not too hard of an argument has to be made there. But I probably just give it way too much thought. Oh my gosh. Really? I don't even got a little bit of syrup left in the bottom of my cup. It's all dried out from this morning. I can't even salvage something from there. Whoa, that was an interesting lane change there. No signal or anything, just your right to do so based entirely on your immense, overwhelming size over everyone else. Oh, okay. That's kind of a traffic bully thing, I think. But here's, so there's something that keeps coming up as a, there are lots of things. Every time I sat and tried to think of a topic on the way today, when I knew I wasn't going to have anything to listen to on the way home, I thought of stuff that I've already mentioned either a little bit or a lot in previous episodes, and I don't want to keep rehashing it. But hopefully this, I know this one, I've touched on it a bit, but recent conversations I've had with some people at work and otherwise just highlight this more and more. Really common thing that you see in today's corporate business company structure and organization, and maybe any large human organization for that matter. I suspect there'd be certain elements like this there, but this notion that, oh, I have talked about this, if you just had the information, excuse me, if upper management just had the information, they would know what to do with it, right? I don't understand this extensive faith and trust in other human beings just because of their position. I don't get it. Because it's not the case. You can't assume that if upper management had your level of information, they would know what to do with it. Because no, they wouldn't. So here's what I think you have to do in the modern business world. You not only have to provide the information, you have to tell them why that information matters. What's the value in it? What's important about it? What does it help you to know or understand that you didn't before? And then, here's what you should do about it. Right, I had this conversation with my manager the other day, and he was like, yeah, often, geez, really sorry. God, I even turned the AC off. No air blowing in at me. Just me talking and driving. With both hands, by the way.
as of right now. Just kidding. I always drive with two hands. He said, I often get feedback that I don't necessarily know what to do with, and I'm kind of hoping or waiting for that. Now, he's that kind of person and that kind of a quality of a manager who would be open to that. I'm certainly not going to tell you that every manager from direct on up has that attitude about it, because that is certainly not the case. But we can't assume anymore. And I don't think we ever could. Maybe there was a time in business history that you could assume a manager knew what to do with the information you were giving them. Just let's not assume that anymore. Let's assume they don't. And you say, here's this little bit I thought you'd like to know. It's whether it's an observation or whether it's, I've kind of been collecting some data for a while, and because I had a suspicion, and here's what I've learned or discovered that I think you would find important, or here's what's going to help us make better decisions, or here's something we could do to handle a particular situation, right? But you have to explain that and say, okay, here's why this information matters. And here's why the assumptions we're operating under without this information are a problem. And here are the negative consequences. And here's why you really got to lay it out. And then say, because of that, here's what I think we should do. And you may even have to go so far as, here's how I think we can validate that what I'm saying is accurate or is leading us to be more effective or to improvements or whatever. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I'm having the same thoughts as I'm saying this, and I have in the past. That's a lot of work. And especially when you're talking about upper management or executives, they understand things at the traffic light level, right? Oh, is that a red, yellow, or green? Right? They don't have time, supposedly, to get into the details. They don't have time to get all this information and process it, and they want everything to be so distilled down, so maybe, well, or funneled up, which, however you want to look at it, to one or two. I even heard of executives complaining there's too many bullets on the slide, and they put out these mandates of no more than two or three bullets per slide and blah, 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 because it's like, okay, well, there's obviously a lot of underlying problems there, but you can't just assume that they know what to do with information, and they, with their majestic abilities, will be able to decipher what should be done with that information, and that it'll be the correct action to be taken, because most of the time it will not be. Your direct manager, more so the case, the further up the chain you go, less likely they're going to respond correctly or appropriately to the information or insight you have to offer. With that in mind, I used to create presentations of things, mock-up PowerPoint slides or whatever. Here's where, you know, if I had to communicate to someone at that level, here's how I would do that. And it just got so frustrating, because it was like, they wouldn't even know what to do with this information, even if I gave it to them, right? And so what do you do? Because they don't know what to do with the information, nor do they have the time or patience to really get the full scope of things. And I know that's a problem with me personally in general. I tend to really try and lay the groundwork and the basis for all, you know, like you do for a college research paper or essay. Do a lot of research, think through it all, analyze it all, and then come up with an interpretation and lay it out very nicely in a very organized, methodical fashion. And that doesn't necessarily always work in the business world, if ever, right? You get bits and pieces, maybe a minute or less in the elevator. Oh, hey, good to see you. Hey, there's something I've been thinking about. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, see you later, right? You maybe get a bunch of fragmented opportunities like that. Excuse me. God, this is stupid. I don't do this all day long when I'm talking. I don't know what it is about being in the car. Maybe I'm just blowing a lot of hot air and limiting my air supply.
I'm running out of oxygen, folks. I need help.
No, I'm fine. Now that I'm past certain odoriferous areas I travel through, I'll roll down the window and get some air. You'll probably get some more traffic noise for a second here. So we're real stuck in a real pinch there, right? So that leads me to what I think the real problem is. If there's an issue like that, that the people who need the information don't have the time or patience for it, there's a few things going on there that I think we're missing the real problem that's actually going on. Okay, a lot of big trucks coming. I have to close the window. Something's wrong with your organizational structure, because that information should be able to be addressed, if not by your manager, then somebody one or two steps up from that, right? They should be able to address those concerns at that level. If the only person to address things is the lonely handful at the top, I think something's gone wrong with your hierarchy or communication structure for whatever reason, right? There's a myriad of reasons that could be a problem and why you're in that situation. But there are certain things that I see that, like, only executives or higher up managers or directors, certain decisions that they make, that they're so far removed from where that decision should be made, they're always going to make bad decisions. So I think that's a chronic problem in a lot of organizations. That decision-making power needs to be pushed further down the line, right? And somebody who doesn't understand the products and the market and customers shouldn't be making product-level decisions. It's just that simple. But yet, in so many companies, we send executives out to customers, you know, so they can understand the customer and relate to the customer and then provide the direction or the leadership. I don't care who you are or how smart you are. If you don't know the software world, you shouldn't be talking to customers about their software. Bad idea. Because you're not going to know what in the crap they're talking about. And you're going to be in a room full of their people who do understand the issue as well that you're trying to help them with. You're not going to know what they're talking about. All you're going to understand, and I've seen this over and over, they're unhappy about something. I must keep making commitments to them until they are happy. Oh my gosh, horrible. Because then they come back to the company with this laundry list of crap items that, lacking the context of the product, the market, other customers, the overall business as a whole, and they're making these commitments that just shouldn't be made. You don't make commitments to customers just to make them happy, especially most of the time in the end, they will just end up unhappy again. We're really unhappy with this product. All right, well, we're going to commit to delivering it better now. Well, okay. Well, we're going to commit to, all right, what are your pet features that you really want to see that aren't really going to resolve this particular issue, but if I commit to doing enough of them, maybe you'll be happy, right? That's all horrible ideas. But if you don't know that, you should not be the one out talking to the customers about those things. Chances are there's somebody at lower levels in the company that would be ideal to help them understand the issue. And also, they would understand, here's why we can't implement that for you, because that puts 90% of the rest of our customers at risk and creates problems for them, right? Plus, that person saying that feedback can also have the discussion with the customers of what really should be delivered and what could be delivered that would be good for everyone, Yeah, we wouldn't want to have those conversations now, would we? Right? But now, you've come back and committed to a bunch of stuff that's not going to accomplish that. And put that at the top of the list of, well, above other things that the teams are already working on that could accomplish that. It's just nasty. You just don't send executives out with a blank check with customers. It's a bad, bad idea. Unless you're an executive who knows that business from top to bottom because you've invested that time or grown up in it or whatever. Most of the time anymore nowadays, that is not the case. You're an executive who's just transferred in from somewhere else. You know, business is business, products are products. It's all the same, right? And I'm a VP or director because I got the secret formula figured out. So I can just apply that formula everywhere and boom, success all over the place. Yeah. No, not how it works at all. I hope it deflated a lot of egos with that. But anyway, oh my gosh, how did I get there from where I started? Anywho, that's dangerous. Goes back to something I've said before over and over. You got to understand where the real value is that your products deliver. And there's a lot of businesses created not on that, but for some other reason. Some other thing, and I don't know, you started on a bad base. At some point, that will fall out from underneath of you. Once the stress is enough and in the right places, it will crumble. I guess everyone's vulnerable to that, right? At some point, but at least won't be for circumstances you could control. So yeah, don't presume that just because somebody's in a higher position, they would know what to do and take in the appropriate context any information or insights you share with them. Big failing in the business intelligence of the information age, right? All these platforms of dashboards and reports and just going nuts with those right now. Still have the same problem. You have to know what to do with that information. And you can have all the information in the world, which we do now, easy access to it, and still don't know what to do with that information. Gotta be someone who knows what to do with the information they receive. Otherwise, it just doesn't matter. An expensive dashboard is not gonna save your business. It's not gonna make you a better CEO. It's just not. There's, I guarantee, tons of other issues going on that are preventing you from being a successful business or CEO. There just are. And it's stuff that most likely a graph or fancy dashboard is not going to tell you. But whatever. Let's just keep investing a ton of money in those and cross our fingers, right? I personally can't take that approach or strategy. It's just too flawed from the get-go. And instead of progressing and moving forward, you spend all your time filling in the holes and putting Band-Aids on, and that's efforts that are being taken away from improvement and real things that are going to matter and have impact. And there you go. You're in a not-so-fun state. Anyways, hopefully this was insightful. Hopefully lead you to some different or new or better understanding, like listening to other people does for me. If not, I'm sorry. I was bored. I wanted to make an episode. And there it is. Hope you have a good day. Talk to you again soon. Bye.